You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Uncommon. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
What we just saw and what we just experienced is uncommon. It's very, very uncommon. You see, most people do not get intentional about carving out time in their schedule to be able to meet with a group of people to do life with. That's uncommon. Most people don't do that. Most people don't get intimate details about what's going on in their life. They don't share those details. They hold them close to their chest. They don't say, this is where I'm hurting, or this is where I'm struggling, or this is where I'm experiencing problems. That was uncommon. Most people don't take the time to pray for one another and to encourage one another and to challenge one another in that way. And that's uncommon. And we're in this series called Uncommon. And here's what we're learning. Uncommon means unusual. That is unusual. That's extraordinary. And so we're looking at uncommon because normal isn't working. It's not working for people. And so uncommon is the extraordinary. It's the unusual. And today we're going to look at uncommon fellowship. And what I mean by fellowship is mutual benefits, that it's mutually beneficial and enjoyable for that group, for that team, for that community. Scripture would use the word koinonia, which means that it's mutually beneficial and enjoyable for everyone because everyone in that group, they are as committed to one another as they are to Christ. And so it flourishes. And it's fun. And it's fulfilling. And so here's what we're learning about uncommon. Uncommon, though, equals uncomfortable. That's why most of us, sad to say, choose to live a common life. Because if you and I are going to experience the uncommon, you and I are going to have to be a little bit uncomfortable. Especially with what we're going to share today, of being able to be a part of a group, to be able to live in authentic community, to be able to do life with other people. It's uncomfortable. And yet, you and I were created to have uncommon fellowship, to be with people of where it's mutually beneficial and enjoyable for all. And so here's what I want us to understand. Uncommon is uncomfortable, but it is also very, very, very attractive. It's very, very attractive. You show me a group of people, whether it's a family, whether it's a team, whether it's a workplace, of where they're experiencing mutual benefits and enjoyment, and there's people who's banging on the door wanting to get in. And so what is this thing called uncommon fellowship? Well, if you're a parent here today, no doubt you've had a dream or you've had a vision for your kids because we all want them to do well in life, right? And so we have this picture and we have this dream, and when they're small, you know, we're thinking, man, this is what I'd like for my son, this is what I'd like for my daughter, and I want to do everything I can to help them experience that. And so you have a vision. And what we have learned about vision is it's a mental picture of a preferred future. And yet what I would say to us is that we have a heavenly Father who has a vision for your life and a vision for my life of what it could be. and what it should be. You see, what happens is sometimes we think that God only cares about who we marry and where we work and what we accomplish in our life. And yet, like any loving father, it's much bigger than that, and it's much better than that. You see, God's vision for you and me is that ultimately we experience life to the fullest. That there's a sense of satisfaction, there's a sense of fulfillment and joy. And he has that for you and he has that for me. And that's why I believe that God's greatest vision for you and me is that you and I would live in authentic community. That you and I somehow on planet Earth would begin to experience uncommon fellowship. That it's out of the ordinary. That people would look at your relationships and they would look at my relationships and it would be jaw-dropping and they would say, wow, are you kidding me? I can't believe how you guys get along. I can't believe how you relate. Can I be a part of that? Can I join you? And here's what we're going to discover. That there's more at stake than what you and I realize in God's vision for you and me. That really, this was his plan all along. That God had a plan that he would have a group of people who would live in authentic community, who would experience uncommon fellowship, and that it would speak to people, and that people would be so attracted to it, and that it would be so contagious that they would just want to be a part of it. You see, Jesus spoke this 2,000 years ago. They were asking him, or should I say, he was asking them, what's people saying about me? Who do they say that I am? And Peter came and he said, well, you are the Christ, basically saying, you are the Messiah, you are the salvation. And Jesus told Peter these powerful words. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we've learned that the word church there, he's not talking about a place, he's talking about a people. He's not saying, hey, you know what, on the corner of Smith and Blue Avenue, we're going to build a church. It's not what he's talking about. The word church here means assembly, congregation. It means a group of people. And what he is saying is, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build a group of people, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Will not prevail. And this was his desire. This is his vision. And we see it in his prayer. Jesus was praying in John chapter 17, and these are powerful words because Jesus was going to be headed to the cross, and he knew that he was going to die for the sins of the world, for my sins and your sins. And by the way, we're going to celebrate that today. And so when somebody gives you their last words, you know that, you know what? They're passionate about it. They care deeply about it. It's very, very important to them. And here's what Jesus had to say. He said, my prayer is not for them alone, meaning the disciples that was right there with him. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That would be us. That would be us through their message. That all of them may be one. That they may be united. That they may have uncommon fellowship. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And then he says these powerful words. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Wow. You see the importance of this? He's basically saying, hey, you know what? People aren't going to believe that God sent me, Jesus, into the world because you tell them so. Because you point to the Bible. Because you quote certain verses. He says, no, the way in which the world is going to believe that God came to earth and that God died for mankind is that you are one. And that's how they're going to believe. And that was his vision, that you are one, that you experience uncommon fellowship, that you're living in community amongst all that is going on, the turbulence and the trouble and the trials in the world, that you're somehow one. And that was his prayer. And that's his prayer today. That's his desire for you and me. His prayer is that Patty and I would be one. His prayer is that the Mason family would be one. And he prays the same for you. He prays that New Point would be one. In a world that is experiencing tremendous factions and division right today, we see it all around us. And everybody's questioning, is there a God? Who is Jesus? Maybe our problem is this. We're not one. And so it's confusing amidst all of the conflict that's going on. And Jesus gives us the answer of how this is possible, because he doesn't just give us a vision, but he gives us the strategy to be able to fulfill it. And here's what he said to the disciples. He says, a new command I give you. Now, what you have to realize is this. There were over 600 commandments in Scripture. Over 600 of them. Almost 700 of them. And he says, I'm giving you a new command. I'm going to tell you something different that you've never heard before. And so listen up. Come on, pay attention. Do I have your attention? I got a new command that I want to give you. Love one another. And they probably said to themselves, we heard that one before. And then he said these words, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. He's not asking you to love your wife like your mother loved you. Y'all okay on that one? He's not asking you to love your husband like your daddy loved you. He's not asking you to love your kids the way that your mom and dad loved you. It's not what he says here. He says, love one another as I have loved you. How has he loved you? Y'all right? See, the problem with many of us and the reason why we don't experience uncommon fellowship is we love people the way that we have been loved. And that'll never give you and I the ability to experience uncommon fellowship. He says, I'm going to give you something new. I'm going to rock your world. I want you to love as I have loved you. And here's the result. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You know, if you love everybody the way in which your mom and dad loved you, they might realize and recognize that you're a nice person. I don't know. If you love the way in which your mom and dad loved you, or maybe your spouse, they may recognize that you have a little bit of good in you. But if you and I love the way in which Jesus has loved us, they will know that you and I are different. They will know that we are his disciples. And a disciple is somebody who is a learner. That we didn't learn how to love from our mom or dad. We didn't learn how to love from somebody else. We learned how to love from the picture of love. Jesus himself. You say, well, why is this so important? Here's the reason why this is so important. Unselfish love fuels uncommon fellowship. You see, what happens is the reason why we don't have uncommon families, the reason why we don't have uncommon marriages, the reason why we don't have uncommon communities is because it's not fueled by unselfish love. It's fueled by common love. And we just love the way in which we've been loved. And that falls short. And so if unselfish love fuels uncommon fellowship, what is the characteristics of this love? Well, here's what I want you to know, all right? There's 52 one another's in Scripture, 52. And so here's what I'd like for you to do. Follow along, take out your note-taking guide, and we're going to look at all 52, all right? Just kidding. Okay, we're going to look at six of them. But they're one another's. And by the way, here's what I want you to understand. You can't fulfill these one another's setting in rows. You can only fulfill these one another's by being in circles, by being in a group. And I challenge you today, if you're not in a group, that you would get in a group. Because it's the only way that you're going to experience uncommon fellowship. And we all need that. So let me give them to you, all right? Here's the first one. The first one is accept one another. Accept one another. And this is huge. If we're going to experience uncommon fellowship, then a characteristic of that fellowship is that we're going to accept one another. We're going to accept one another. Now, here's what you need to understand. This doesn't come natural. Say, what happens with many of us is we accept people the way in which our daddy accepted us. Or our mom accepted us or didn't accept us. Or the way that our ex accepted us or didn't accept us. And that's not uncommon. That's very common. And though we have that experience, Jesus said, no, I'm asking you to love one another as I have loved you. I want you to accept one another as I have accepted you, even though it's not natural. And so here's what Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement or patience give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. Wow. So here's what he's saying. He says, may God give you endurance. You know why? Because it's hard to accept people. Would you agree with me? We want to control people. We want to shame people. We want to guilt people. We don't want to accept people. And so what happens, he's saying, you're going to need some endurance, man. That's going to be some work, man. And you're going to need encouragement. And what he says here is God will give you and I the endurance and the encouragement to be able to have the same attitude that Christ had towards one another. He goes on to say this, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we glorify God? By accepting one another. And he finishes up with this. So accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So a characteristic of uncommon fellowship is that we accept one another. And it does not come natural. You will need God to give you endurance and encouragement. Because we usually only accept people who are like us and think like us and act like us. And if you don't think like me, if you don't act like me, if you don't look like me, I cut you out. And so I'm going to need God's endurance and I'm going to need God's encouragement to be able to do that. Now, what you need to understand, and I know is going through your mind, well, I just don't think I can accept them because of what they do. He says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. You see, what happens is when Dwight gets it right, God approves of me. When Dwight gets it wrong, God accepts me. You get that? There's a difference between approval and acceptance. I remember when I was dating Patty, and my sister Brenda knew that there was something special going on in this relationship. Because all my other girlfriends that I would write letters to, my sister read them first. You said, why? Because I wasn't a very good speller. And I wanted to make sure that I spelled the words right. So I let my sister read the letters first and then correct any spelling. And then I would rewrite the letter and mail it off. And she found out with Patty she wasn't getting to read any of these letters. And let me tell you the reason why. Because I experienced the power of acceptance. I could be myself. I didn't think she was going to get turned off or think that I was stupid or dumb because I misspelled a word or two. That's uncommon. That's uncommon. You know what that is? That's freeing. And so we're called to accept one another. Let me ask you a question. Who do you need to accept right now? Who do you need to accept? Not because they're getting everything right, but because Christ accepts you and you don't get it right all the time. And it could change your whole marriage. It could change your whole family. You've been trying to change them and manipulate them and judge them and guilt them. And what I would say is, how's that working for you? Acceptance is powerful. It's the way in which we get into people's lives. It's the way in which God gets into our life. Let me give you the second one, and that is this: forgive one another. Forgive one another. We're called to forgive one another. And you know what? This doesn't come natural. See, this is why this is uncommon. This is why it's uncomfortable. To be uncommon means to be uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to accept other people who are not like me. It's uncommon for me to forgive other people who have done me wrong. And yet Paul, again, writes to a church in Ephesus. Here's what he says. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. But I don't want to get rid of it because it energizes me. I don't want to get rid of it because I can blame other people for the way my life is. See, it's not natural for us to get rid of all this stuff. Because for some of us, it's our mojo, man. It's what makes us go. We're just angry people. We're bitter people. And when things don't go right, what happens is we blame the people who've done us wrong. Y'all all right? But look what he says here. He says, here's the answer. He says, replace that anger, that bitterness, that malice. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Wow. How's God forgive you and I? Bible says that he removes it as far as the east is from the west to remember it no more. That's how God forgives. That's why he's an uncommon God. He's not like anybody else. And if you and I are going to have uncommon fellowship, we have to practice forgiving one another. And forgiving is a decision. And we're called to forgive. And you say, well, I'm still hurt, Dwight. I'm still in pain. Okay, make the decision to forgive and then allow your feelings to catch up to that decision. See, what happens too often is we wait until our feelings catch up to the decision that we need to make, and it'll never happen. Forgiveness is a choice. The word forgiveness means to cancel a debt. Yes, you have been wronged. Yes, you got slighted. Yes, you got overlooked. But forgiveness means I cancel that. I grieve over that. I go to God for comfort. And then I say, hey, you know what? You don't owe me anymore. And I'm telling you, it's free. Now listen to me, okay? Forgiven people forgive. And so if you're struggling with unforgiveness today, I want to tell you, you don't feel forgiven. Somehow you don't believe that God can forgive you of what you did 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 2 days ago. And so what happens is it's inside of you. Because once you understand that God forgives you of all of your sins in the person of Jesus Christ, It sets you free. And you know what it sets you free to do? To forgive. Doesn't come natural. That's why I need to be one with the Father. But forgiveness is unbelievable. And we need to forgive the way in which God has forgiven us and continues to forgive us. Let me give you the third one, and that is this. We are to serve one another. We are to serve one another. And this is huge. And you know what? This doesn't come natural, okay? The normal thing, and it doesn't work, is to want to be served. But to be uncommon is to look to serve other people. And what happens is it deals with my self-centeredness. And it deals with my selfishness when I serve. Every time I serve, a little bit of Dwight dies. And that's a good thing. You see, here's Paul. He's writing to a church again. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Yay, I'm free. I get to do whatever I want to do. Wow, that's incredible. That's what I like about this. He goes on. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Do not use your freedom to be self-centered or to be selfish. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Wow. See, what happens is I'm free now to do the right thing. I'm free to be able to serve because I know that God accepts me. I know that he has forgiven me. I'm free. And so now I'm free to be able to serve anyone and everyone. You see, he goes on to say this. He says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you do that? You serve. You serve one another. He says this. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. You see, can I just have your attention here? America will never be destroyed from without. There's not a country on planet Earth that can handle us. Our problem is not what is happening outside of America. Our problem is what's happening inside of America. And we are biting and devouring each other. And we're destroying one another because nobody wants to serve. Everybody's picking up their rights instead of laying down their rights. Listen, nobody can destroy your family. You won't be destroyed from without. You will be destroyed from within. Selfishness will eat you alive. Your workplace, your team, the place that you serve, place that you spend 40 or 50 hours, you won't be destroyed from the outside. You'll be destroyed from the inside. You'll bite one another and devour one another, and you'll end up destroying one another. And so it's uncommon to be able to be in a family. It's uncommon to be in a workplace of where they literally serve one another. And you say, well, what does it mean to serve? Let me give you some help here, okay? First of all, it means that you see a need and you meet it. You just see a need and you meet it. And here's the second one. When something needs to be done, you do it. We got any servants here? I'm not asking if you want to be viewed as a servant. I want to ask you, are you a servant? Because if you are a servant, you will be inconvenienced. And what happens is you will have a sense of privilege that you're being inconvenienced because it gives you the opportunity to care for somebody. You're inconvenienced by your wife. If you're really a servant, you'll consider that a privilege because it's an opportunity to express care for her. If you're inconvenienced by your kids, you know what? It'll be an opportunity and a privilege for you to be able to say, I really do care for you. If you're inconvenienced by a coworker or a friend, it's just an opportunity. It's a privilege to be able to demonstrate that you really care for them. Because if people inconvenience you, you don't care for them. You're not a servant. Y'all okay? You're self-centered. You're selfish. Been there, done that. Anybody else? Anybody want to turn your light on that one? Huh? And see, what happens is when you're with a group of people and they see a need and they meet it, and they see that something needs to be done and they do it, you know, that's uncommon. That's uncommon fellowship. Let me give you another one here. How about this one here? Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Wow. You know, that's a powerful, powerful statement. And what I mean by here, encourage, and you'll find out here in a second as we look at this scripture, I'm not talking about slapping somebody on the back and saying, that a boy, that a boy, that a boy, that a boy, you're just great, you're fantastic, you're unbelievable, you never get anything wrong, you never do anything wrong. No, this is a different kind of encouragement, okay? This is one that spurs you on, that challenges you. And so here's what the writer of Hebrews writes. He says, see to it. This is a command. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. That's people who's living in community. He says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Is that easy to do? Absolutely. My heart has a tendency to want to walk away from God because of everything that's going on in my life. And no doubt you find yourself there as well. And so what happens is he goes on to say this, but encourage one another daily. That means that you're in one another's life. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Wow. Is it easy to get deceived? Absolutely. Is it easy to harden our heart towards God? God, I can't believe you let that happen. I can't believe that you didn't do this for me. I can't believe that, because we live in a broken world. And so we're called to encourage one another. We're called to bring perspective. We're called to bring some perseverance into those relationships and to be able to speak to that. Hey, you know what? I think you're drinking too much. And you continue down that path, and you know what? You're going to lose your job. I think you're gambling too much. I think you're getting too close to him. I think you're getting too close to her. Anybody here got a story like that? Anybody here got a story that you wish somebody would have been in your life to encourage you to do the right thing? But the fact of the matter is, your heart was hardened by sin's deceitfulness, and it led you down a path. Sure, that's why some of us aren't married anymore. And it would have been better if you would have been in community, uncommon fellowship, if you will, and allowed somebody to know your heart and to speak to that and say, you know what? Don't do that. Don't go there. We'd be in a different place. You see, here's what I believe. If the purpose in your heart is to invest your life in the lives of others, it's what community is, you will find it necessary at times to speak very honestly with them. And to be able to say, I love you too much not to speak into your life. And I want to encourage you. You see, encouragement means this. Encouragement means to talk to them, not about them. Who are you talking about? Quit talking about them. Go talk to them. Go talk to them. It doesn't mean that you you pray about them. What you do is you pray with them. Not just for them. You get involved in their life. You encourage them in practical, unbelievable ways. Let me give you this next one. Restore one another. Restore one another. Because sometimes all the encouragement in the world is not going to get them to do what is right. We're still going to mess up. And yet what happens is uncommon fellowship means that we don't shoot our teammates. We restore them. Look at what Scripture has to say. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. The word gently there means as though you are setting a broken bone in place. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Wow. So you restore. You restore that person. You don't badger them. You don't beat them up. You restore. I'll never forget one of our kids had done something that ultimately they knew that they should not have done. And they came to me. And they explained to me what happened. And I said, I forgive you. I still believe in you. I trust you. I love you. You're forgiven. And here's what they said. No, Dad, you have to punish me. You have to punish me. And I said, I understand, but I forgive you. Let's just go on. You see, that's what Jesus did with the woman who was caught in adultery. He said, hey, you know what? Go and what? Sin no more. He restored her. And we need to be a people who restores one another. And then let me give you this last one and I'm done. And that is submit. We need to submit to one another. And let me just tell you, this does not come natural. Okay, this does not come natural. And submitting to one another basically means I put you first, you put me first. Mutual submission means I'm going to take all of my resources and all of my skills and I'm going to leverage them for your best interest and you're going to do it for me. You see, any family that's doing life well, they mutually submit to one another. And here's what Paul says. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. Out of who? Because they're a great leader. No. Because they're my husband. No. Because they're my wife. No. Because they're my parents. No. Out of reverence for Christ. And what does this submission look like? Paul tells us this. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to the interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Submit to one another. There's not a more powerful, dynamic, relational thing than that. And that's what we're called to do. Now, we're going to celebrate communion here in a moment. And here's what I want you to understand. Everything I just talked about, acceptance, forgiveness, encouragement, restoration, submission, is all found in the person of Jesus. And we need to embrace him. And when we embrace him, then he empowers us to be able to do that to one another. And we will experience uncommon fellowship. Imagine in a world where they are skeptics of what we believe, but they are envious of how we treat one another. We couldn't keep them out. They would want to be a part of us because it would be uncommon fellowship. Let's pray. God, we thank you today, wow, for who you are. And we're going to celebrate all of these truths in the person of Jesus here. And I pray, God, that we would realize how much you accept us and how much you have forgiven us and how you serve us and how you encourage us and how you restore us and how you're even willing to submit to us for our best interests. I pray today that we would be people of uncommon fellowship and it would be contagious, even though it's very uncomfortable. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.